We are glad to present your speaker, Garland Elkins.
We have shown that Christ built the church. It was built upon Him. It was built at the right place, at the right time. And according to the prophecies of the Old Testament, those were fulfilled when it was built on the day of Pentecost. The record of it, of course, is in Acts chapter 2. We have discussed something of the organization of the church. Every congregation is autonomous under the Lord. And the rules of faith and practice are already set out for us in the Bible. Nobody has a right to alter them, to add to, nor to subtract from. If one does that, he will be condemned for it. Galatians 1, 8 and 9, 2 John 9 through 11, and Revelation 22, 18 and 19. We have also shown the plan of salvation, faith, repentance, confession that Christ is the Son of God, and baptism for the remission of sins, all of which we have recorded for us in the Acts of Conversion, in the book of Acts, as well as in other passages. Then we have identified the acts of worship in the church of our Lord. We have shown from passages in the book of Acts and elsewhere that the early church had teaching and preaching, that the early church gave of their contributions and of their means a contribution each Lord's Day, and that there was prayer as an act of worship. And then we have shown that singing is authorized, and then we have been discussing the fact, therefore instrumental music is unauthorized, that we must have authority for everything that we do in religion. There can be no harmony, unity, or system in any realm of life without a recognition of authority. Business and trade would be brought to a halt without a monetary standard. Chaos would result if there were no standards and weights and measures. 12 inches constitute a foot, 16 ounces make a pound, and 2,000 pounds are in a ton. There's also a standard for time, 60 seconds equal a minute, and 60 minutes an hour. These standards are recognized and do not vary. A failure to submit to the absolute authority of God in religion has always produced division and confusion of every sort. Before this confusion can be cleared up, we must accept God as supreme and His Word, the Bible, as our supreme guide of instructions, rule in faith and practice, and instruction in religious matters. The Bible furnishes us completely unto every spiritual need. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. God's Word will measure us in the judgment. In John 12:48, Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words which I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." In Revelation 20 and 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God," he says, "and the books were open, and another book was open, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book." So we will be judged on the day of judgment, and judged by the Bible. Christ's New Testament, rather than Moses' law, is our standard today. Hebrews 8, 6 through 10, Colossians 2, 14. "God hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son," Hebrews 1, 1 says, and also verse 2. In Matthew 17, 1 through 5, God said on the Mount of Transfiguration to Jesus and Peter, James, and John, as Moses and Elijah had appeared to Christ, He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then He added, "Hear ye Him." So we must hear Christ and obey Him. Now there are principles, though, set out in the Old Testament that are of great value to us in learning that whatever God commanded had to be done, whatever was not authorized caused people to be condemned. Paul said in Romans 15:4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Now, a passage of Scripture authorizes only what it authorizes. Now, that's a very simplistic statement, but I think we all should recognize that. Now, this is universally understood in all matters. That is, that if a mother, for example, sends her son to a grocery store to buy a loaf of bread, he is authorized to buy bread and only bread. If a doctor writes a prescription all honorable pharmacists readily concede that the medicine authorized by the prescription, and only what is specifically authorized, is to be put into the filling of that prescription. If your doctor wrote a prescription for you and you took it to a pharmacist, would you not expect and even demand, if necessary, that only the medicine that is authorized by the prescription be given to you? Neither would you expect to have to enumerate all other ingredients and insist that they be left out. I once knew and had a good Christian friend who's now dead, but whose prescription was not filled as authorized. And he stated that his health was damaged by it. The pharmacist, though not intending to do wrong, nevertheless acted without authority in failing to fill the prescription as authorized by the doctor. Now, if a mother sends her son to the grocery store to buy a loaf of bread, if he were to come back with bags of candy and flour and meal and all kinds of different things, she would tell him, "You did not do what I told you to do." But he might say, "You did not tell me to buy flour or meal or sugar or whatever else he might bring." But she would say, "Yes, but I told you to buy bread, and that means only bread. You're not to buy anything else." On the other hand, if your doctor writes a prescription, now, the pharmacist, you would not have to tell the pharmacist, "Well, you're not to put in 1,000 other ingredients that might to be available." But you want only what the doctor has prescribed. Now, God instructed Cain and Abel as to the kind of offering that he required in worship to himself. Genesis 4, 8 and 9. Abel worshiped God as directed. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 4, "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he had witness borne to him that he was righteous, God bearing witness in respect of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, yet speaketh." Now, Paul informs us, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God," Romans 10, 17. So, Abel was told by God what to offer, and he did it. But now, Cain did not do what God said. The Bible speaks of the way of Cain. It is the way of unbelief. His unbelief was brought to light in his worship. Abel's offering was accepted, but Cain's was rejected. Genesis 4, 2 and 3. The Holy Spirit inspired Jude to write, "Woe unto them, for they went in the way of Cain." Jude, verse 11. By way of comparison, there are few Abels in our day, people who will do the will of the Lord, but there are many modern-day Cains, people who pay practically no attention to what God has authorized, but bring in what they want to do. To worship God by singing, as set out in the New Testament, is authorized by God, and those who faithfully do so are walking by faith, even as did Abel of old. Now, while those who bring in instrumental music into the worship of God are walking in the way of unbelief, as did Cain. Now, in Hebrews 2:12, "In the midst of the church, I will sing praises unto thee." Well, the Bible plainly says that we are to sing praises in the midst of the church. It doesn't say to play. The Bible also says in 2 John 9:11, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." So the examples of Cain and Abel teach us a great deal. Abel did the will of God. He did what God authorized, and God was pleased with him. Cain did that which was unauthorized, and as a result, God, of course, condemned him. But another example from the Old Testament that shows this principle. Numbers chapter 16 records the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. These men rebelled against God's delegated authority, and thus they rebelled against God. They became tired of God's order. They protested to Moses and Aaron, "You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." Numbers 16:3. Now God's order was that Aaron and his sons should burn incense. while the Levites, to whom Korah and his company belonged, had other duties assigned to them, as we learn in Leviticus chapter 8 and in Numbers 3:12. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, however, were not content with God's arrangements, and so they sought the priesthood. And Moses said unto Korah, "Hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel, to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee." Now note this question of Moses, from Moses to them. "And seek ye the priesthood also, for which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord? And what is Aaron that you murmur against him?" That's recorded in Numbers 16, 8 through 11. Moses, knowing that they were determined, gave the following instructions and commands. "And Moses said unto Korah, Be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they, and Aaron, tomorrow, and take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye in before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer." And that's in Numbers 16 and 17. The Bible then states, "And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Separate yourselves from among the congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak ye unto the congregation, saying, Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they get them up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, on every side. And Korah, Dathan, and Abiram came out, and Dathan and Abiram came out, and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their little ones." Now then, Moses predicted the death of these rebels, and God did indeed kill them. And Moses said, "Hereby you shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up, with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quickly into the pit, then shall ye understand that these men have provoked the Lord." And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertaineth unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertaineth to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, "Lest the earth swallow us up also." And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And that's in Numbers 16, 28 through 35. Now, friends, God has commanded in the New Testament us to sing. And he has said, saying, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." Hebrews 2:12. Now, those that bring mechanical instruments of music into the worship of God fall under his disapproval. And I know there are many sincere people who've never thought about this. But nevertheless, am I therefore become your enemy by telling you the truth? Galatians 4:16. It is your soul, and you should certainly desist from that which is wrong. Those that bring instruments of music, mechanical instruments of music, into the worship of God, fall under his disapproval. And in 2 John 9-11, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If they are coming into you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Again, the passage is 2 John 9 through 11. Now, we also have another example to which I would call your attention, from which we can learn great lessons. Noah was commanded to build an ark. If God had commanded him to build an ark out of wood, he could have used any kind of wood. He could have used walnut or oak or pine or cedar, etc. However, God commanded him to build an ark, but he didn't just say out of wood. He specified the kind of wood. To build an ark out of gopher wood. Genesis 6:14. Gopher wood, and only gopher wood, was authorized by God. Now, Noah was obedient, for the record says, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him. So did he, Genesis 6:22. Now, under the New Testament dispensation of our Lord, if our Lord had just said, offered music, and had said no more, then either mechanical or vocal or both would have been acceptable. But God did not just say, make music, but rather he commanded a kind of music, singing. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And then in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. And so, therefore, this then requires us to use only a certain kind of music. That is, we're to sing. And to use another kind, playing, is a presumptuous sin. Psalm 19:13 and 2 John 9-11. Singing is the limit of the command of God, and singing is the extent of our practice in churches of Christ. So we are to do and are doing only what the Lord said. But another example, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, died because of their disrespect and rebellion toward God and what he had authorized. The Bible says in Leviticus 10:1-2, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Now notice he didn't say, thou shalt not bring in strange fire. He just had not commanded them to do so. Which he commanded them not, and there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Leviticus 10:1-2. They used strange fire in the incense offering, which God commanded them not, and their worship was rejected, and they both died before the Lord. Now, in the New Testament, certain men taught the era that people must be circumcised. They said, except you be circumcised after the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved, in Acts 15:1. The apostles and the elders with the whole church refuted such teaching by saying, forasmuch as we have heard that certain men went out from us, have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, notice, to whom we gave no such commandment, Acts 15:24. When false teachers of our day seek to introduce instrumental music into the worship and thus corrupt the worship of God, it is appropriate to quote the inspired rebuff, to whom we gave no such commandment. There is no authority for instrumental music. But now Moses was one of the truly great men of God. Deuteronomy 34:10-12, 18 and 15, and in the New Testament, Acts 3:22-23. He loved the Lord and wanted to do something for his downtrodden people who were groaning under the yoke of bondage, Exodus 2:1-15, Hebrews 11:23-31. The death of Moses was certainly an outstanding and touching event. But in the New Testament, we learn that Christ is the prophet that Moses spoke about, and all would have to obey him, so Moses said, or if they did not, they would be condemned. My friends, the Bible is specific, the New Testament is specific as to the kind of music we're to have. If you were to ask someone to bring you an automobile, he could bring any kind of an automobile, but if you said to him, bring me a 1983 Lincoln Continental Ford automobile, he could not bring a Chevrolet or a Cadillac. So you must be specific where God is specific. Bear in mind that the Bible says in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. An identifying mark of the Lord's church is to sing and not play in our worship. I hope you will obey the gospel. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And another passage, you said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16:16.